Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Randy.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. Today, we have a really interesting show for you. My guest is attorney and afterlife expert, Roberta Grimes. And this is Roberta's third time on the show. Roberta has some very intriguing books about proof of what is going on, what the afterlife is confirming for us. And she is one of the world's foremost authorities on the afterlife. After 40 years of in-depth study of 200 years of abundant and consistent communications from those who have died, she wrote two bestsellers, The Fun of Dying and The Fun of Staying in Touch. And these books make the afterlife evidence easily accessible and, through the updated lens of quantum physics, bring our afterlife understanding comfortably and dramatically into the 21st century. Today she's going to be talking about her newest book, Liberating Jesus, which makes a leap forward. And I want you to know that though we are talking about the teacher Jesus, we are not talking about the religion of Christianity. So don't let that deter you from listening to the show, because we are going to talk about what is confirmed by the teachings of Jesus and how it squares perfectly with what the afterlife is saying and continue to say. Now, Roberta is... she's got to catch a plane, so I'm going to bring her on so we can get started and give her plenty of time to get to her plane. So let me welcome Roberta Grimes to the show. Good morning, Roberta.
Oh, Randy, I'm so happy to be back with you. This is lovely. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. You're always so fascinating. This is just such a fascinating topic.
It is.
So, yeah, it is. It just blows my mind. I love talking about this. Maybe just want to review how you got interested in investigating the afterlife.
When I was 8 years old, good little Christian child, always went to Sunday school, I woke up in the middle of the night with the thought that there is no God. And I was terrified. And in the midst of that fear, in the room there was a flash of bright white light. So I remember that room to this day, because it feels as if this experience just happened to me last night and it happened 60 years ago. In the midst of the light, a voice said, "You wouldn't know what it is to have me unless you knew what it is to be without me. I will never leave you again." Of course, if you're 8, everything surprises you, so nothing does. My thought was, oh, it's handy. If you forget there's a God, they remind you when I went back to sleep. But that remained a very present memory. In fact, I had the light and the voice again when I was 20, because I even majored in Christianity in college, and I never asked a question, so I never was told by anybody what that had been. And I became so determined to find out where that, because I knew they were real. These were real experiences, and they were permanent experiences in my mind. The only way I could think to figure it out was to investigate where the dead are, because I thought there was some relationship there, and it turned out there was, and I finally did figure it all out. And wonderfully, the truth about what really is going on is more glorious, more perfect, more loving, more wonderful than our most optimistic hopes. And that doesn't matter if you have no religion or whatever religion you practice. We are all infinitely loved.
Now, I was telling you before we went on air that I was raised Jewish, not a follower of religion. I'm a spiritual person. So I'm not really familiar with the teachings of Jesus. So can you explain what relationship his teachings have to the afterlife evidence that you have found?
Yeah, the greatest discovery of my life was, because good Christian all my life, very intense Christian, I looked and looked and looked and looked for some evidence that what I had learned as a Christian was true. None of it was true. There is no physical God, anthropomorphic God, hard to say that word, and there is no hell, there is no Satan, there is no judgment by anybody other than ourselves. Jesus did not redeem a single human being. That's not why he went to the cross. It was all wrong. And I was so upset about this that it took me a couple of years to get up the courage. I had read the Bible repeatedly. I could almost recite it to you at this point. But I knew he had said some of this stuff. But it took me a couple of years to go back, open my Gospels, and read the red letters, which is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the words of Jesus. And I discovered that 2,000 years ago, someone who claimed he knew this stuff walked the earth knowing things about God, reality, death, the afterlife, and the meaning and purpose of our lives that we could not possibly have confirmed by any manner or means until the 20th century. Isn't that extraordinary? Think about that. That's unbelievable. Forget
that
about the religion. Jesus is real and eternal, and he came to all of us. So that's why my new book is called Liberating Jesus. It's really high time we did that.
It is high time, and it really kind of jives with everything that's happening now, all the consciousness that's, you know, all the people that are finding consciousness and becoming more open to things that was so woo-woo before. And so it really does make sense, Roberta. It really, really does. So can you explain?
I think it's important. Deb, you told your listeners that we are in the middle of a consciousness revolution on this earth, that there is work going on at the highest possible levels to raise the consciousness of the planet. I know you know that. I just want to make sure that your listeners understand how profound what you just said really is. This revelation about Jesus is part of a huge movement, and there are many, many people on earth and many more people in the afterlife levels who are working hard to basically save the world.
Wow. And why? Why do they want to save the world?
Because we're told that it's because we have not progressed spiritually, and for reasons which are pretty obvious to people who understand what Jesus came to teach and then look at what Christianity actually is. And every other religion, by the way, it's not just Christianity, is the same kind of fly in amber with cultural overlays that destroy the teachings of whoever was the original founder. But when we look at the way, the fact that we are not progressing spiritually, but in fact we're progressing technologically, that has frightened the people who are caretakers of this planet and are not in bodies. Because this planet is a very useful place for us to learn and grow spiritually, and we're not doing that. Instead, we're going to blow it up. Hmm. What seems to have jump-started it was the use of atomic bombs in warfare. I think that the effort has been going on for more than a century. But then, in 1945, we actually exploded atomic bombs. This was a wake-up call in the afterlife levels and at the highest levels of the afterlife. And from then on, I mean, I know so many people doing this work who were born in right around the time of the Second World War. I was born 1 year after they exploded the bombs. All of us have come in with the same purpose in mind, which is to do our little part to help to fix it, because if we don't fix it, we will destroy the world. And I think everybody listening knows that.
Wow. That is so profound. Wow. Yeah, I mean, I've actually done shows with somebody who had a lot of experience with the alien encounters back then, who were trying to get the government to stop doing these, stop ruining the Earth, because it was ruining the entire universe.
We cannot transform the world, though, until we first transform ourselves. And that is what the teachings of Jesus are meant to do. And they're the easiest way to do it.
Now, when you read the teachings, would they have been as clear to others as they were to you? Or is it only because of all your investigation that you were able to decipher the truth?
I think if you take the Gospels, that's a wonderful question. If you take the Gospels and read just the words in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the words of Jesus on love, forgiveness, and the meaning and purpose of our lives, you get them. You don't need anybody to interpret it. It's clear as day. The problem is that Christians think the whole Bible is equal. The whole Bible is the inspired word of God. Well, the whole Bible is not the inspired word of God. And I say that as someone, I've been trying to figure out how many times I've read it cover to cover. I used to say 6. I think it's closer to 12. I read it for decades. I read it every day. And nobody who actually sits down and reads the whole Christian Bible can possibly believe that it is all the work of a sane, loving, not vicious and evil God. It's not possible. And even consistent, I mean, eternal consistency, if it's all the inspired word of God and God is eternal, you'd expect internal consistency in the book. Well, there is none. And the problem is that a lot of what's in both the Old Testament and the rest of the New Testament directly contradicts the words of Jesus. So what do? They don't take Jesus seriously. Jesus came to be taken seriously. And if anyone listening is a Christian and is bristling at this, just stay a Christian. And no one's telling you to change your religion. But if you love Jesus, the least you can do is listen to him. That seems fair, right? If he came and he died on the cross to save you from whatever you think he saved you from, at least give him a chance to be heard. That's all he's asking. And that's enough. If enough people will follow the teachings of Jesus, we will, by themselves, we will have those teachings change the world. I'm confident of that. And we're told that's actually true. So, Christians, you're already riding the winning horse. You're just ignoring him. That's all.
Well, and you should know. And you should know.
Yes.
Now, you found out that your primary guide that helped you with the information from the afterlife was Thomas Jefferson. And so what has he taught you? What have you learned from him and about him?
Oh, my goodness. Do we have about a day? I've always been a big devotee of Thomas Jefferson. I never knew why. I'm told I came in with that, but I was supposed to be devoted to my guide, who actually, that wasn't even his last lifetime, and he does not want to talk about his Thomas. You and I, if we had had a lifetime like that, we'd probably go around, you know, polishing our fingernails against our lapels, right? He doesn't feel that
way
at all.
Right.
He has some disappointments, especially with his presidency, and he is very focused on what he actually was focused on primarily toward the latter part of his life, which is helping people understand the truth about Jesus.
Interesting.
If you go to Amazon and look up the Jefferson Bible, you'll see there is a Jefferson Bible. It was his private study Bible. He never intended it to be publicly published, but he, after his death, it was. And in it, what he did was to paste the words of Jesus in French, English, Greek, and Latin, because he read all four languages fluently, so he could side by side, so he could really study more and more in depth what Jesus came to teach. He said the words of Jesus stand out in the Bible like diamonds in a dunghill. He was right. He was colorful, but he was right. And now I understand that he says we've had 17 lifetimes together, and I'm told there's even more intensity than that. He's guided me a lot and stuff. I don't know. But I understand now that I came in having promised him that he never published his version of liberating Jesus, but he wrote it in his old age. He thought
really?
It wasn't the time. Yes. But I came in promising him that this time I would do it for him. And everything I have been doing my entire life, I now understand he's been guiding me toward doing this work. So, you know, we think it's our life. It's really not. I came in with a big promise to a very old friend, and I'm carrying it out now.
That's great. Now, okay, so is he the one that brings through the information about the afterlife, or are you experiencing this with others? Are you bringing through, are you channeling others?
Well, here's the thing. I am a psychic as a post, totally unpsychic. In fact, I'm trying to communicate with Thomas now, and we're finding it very difficult because I'm not psychic. But it turns out I have one talent I never knew about, and that is channeling. And I didn't know about that, really, until he told me a year ago, just about this minute, that I needed to write this book, and he would do it with me no problem. We find out now that he actually did channel another book through me. In the late 80s, I became suddenly extremely brilliant, thought of writing a book about Thomas Jefferson's marriage, which spanned the Revolutionary War, and I researched it. I wrote it. It's in Elizabethan English. It's the best novel you will ever write on any historical, read on any historical figure. It's a brilliant novel, had wonderful reviews, Doubleday published it, but then, of course, immediately let it drop because they were mad at my editor, nothing to do with the book. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. That was an exercise to prove that I could channel. That is Thomas Jefferson's memoir of his life and his marriage, which spans the Revolutionary War. So if you want to read something with a fascinating backstory, My Thomas is available on Amazon. We've republished it after 25 years. So
now, when you channel, how are you channeling through writing? Are you channeling? Are you hearing it, or are you just?
No, it's just I'm suddenly just really, really brilliant. I'm brilliant when I'm channeling. I didn't.
Okay.
You think you're smart? I mean, I've never written a blessed thing on my own. I now realize. Both The Fun of Dying and The Fun of Staying in Touch were they even the titles of those books didn't come from me. Nothing has come from me. I'm just a vessel. So, but
well,
I think.
What
were you going to say?
I was going to say, I think that all writers and speakers are.
I think so many people give themselves credit,
but really they're bringing forth information from the other world.
Yes.
I really do believe that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, so what happened, I think you're right, Randy, and it's quite an insight, and it's humbling but freeing at the same time. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I became suddenly brilliant. I had the title I didn't agree with, but I was told that was what we had to use. And I had the whole table of contents. We were writing, we were having fun, but it was going so slowly. So apparently much too slowly for those who really wanted to see this book out. On the 9th of June last year, Thomas seized my friend who is the medium through whom we communicate, Suzanne Wilson, she's wonderful, seized her and said, "We apologize, the energy is going to be much higher because you are working directly for the master now. Without the benefit of filters that would slow the transmission, please let us know if it overwhelms the physical." I still went to sleep normally, but I woke up at 2 in the morning, and for 2 weeks I channeled the master. And it was a very different, can't even talk about it, very different experience. And it was... Jesus is not the wimp that we think is an extraordinary being. I only really understand this now because a couple of nights ago, I met him basically for the first time. He came to a meeting of my guides. In case people don't know, you meet with your guides during the night. That's when you plan all the stuff that goes on in your life. And I've had a lot of that going on because of the fact that I'm doing this. So I woke up feeling just the way I felt last summer, totally demoralized, helpless, and as if I was inadequate to do anything at all. So Thomas built me up all day yesterday, and then last evening he let me begin to remember what had happened the previous night. I didn't get to hear anything, but I got to see Jesus. And it's no wonder to me that the dead never call him Jesus, they call him the Master. The Master is the Master. I have never been in the presence of such an extraordinary being in my, The Master is very much bigger in the afterlife levels than he is to any Christian on earth. The Master is big. And let me tell you, I was so demoralized by that. And when he began, I think it was because he wanted to replace in my mind as I begin to talk about this, because I have this, I mean, I know the presence in my mind was big. I still have this picture in my mind of the paintings of Jesus. I mean, that soft face, that sort of wistful face that now is going to go to the cross for us. That's how Christians see Jesus. you have never been in the presence of a being like Jesus. Not impossible. Even it, you can't even imagine it. I'm still trying to adjust to the fact that I think they're going to have that image in my mind now for the rest of my life. I have to become comfortable with it. But I now, for the first time, I told someone this morning, for the first time I get how the martyrs were happy to go to whatever their horrible death was going to be. I mean, if they saw what I saw, if they were in the presence of that being, they would do anything. Bring it on. It's amazing. But Jesus did not come to start a religion. He came to free us from religions, as he says in the Gospels, and teach us how to relate to God individually and teach us how to grow spiritually. I started in 2011 to see if it works. You know, someone ought to see if this works. Actually, someone had asked me in one of the early talks I did about the fun of dying, so do the teachings work? And I said, I'd better find out. So I started in 2011 trying to really live the teachings every day and figure out how to do it. You wouldn't have known me in 2009. I was an utterly different person. These teachings work, and they work fast. So that's why it's important that everyone know about it. I mean, don't you think? If there's an easy way for you to do what you came to Earth to do, and if that has nothing to do with a religion and everything to do with the truth, isn't that the right thing to be doing with us, our lives now?
As far as I'm concerned, I completely agree with you. I mean, I think, right, I think we should be open to, you know, to the information, to the wisdom that's larger than we are. I mean, it's definitely there. So let me ask you a question. This just popped into my head. Okay, so in the Old Testament, they talk about a Messiah coming, and then some say it was Jesus. Some say, you know, okay, the Messiah hasn't come. The Jews say that the Messiah has not come yet. Does Jesus think of himself as the Messiah, or was that just a manufactured thing?
It's possible that he used their scripture. Because he came with a very distinct purpose. I am told, and this is a comfort to Christians, that Jesus was not the Son of God. I'm told that Jesus was God on earth. We don't know if it's ever happened before or since, but Jesus is such an elevated, powerful being that God could look through his eyes, I'm told, to try to figure out how giving us free will could possibly have gone so wrong. It still is going wrong.
Right.
And in Jesus, God told us how to fix it, and those are the teachings. That he was talking to people in the first century. Never forget that. I mean, if he talked to us today, he would talk in a much more sophisticated way. So it's amazing to me that the teachings he gave 2,000 years ago work like a clock. But this is why this is so important. If anybody listening cares about fixing the world, if that even matters to you at all, you know we cannot fix the world until we first fix ourselves. That's why no religion works. There are now 40,000 and counting versions of Christianity. By definition, nothing that screws itself up so badly can be the work of God. Let's think about this rationally as adults in the 21st century. Jesus is right, perfectly right. But he didn't come to start a religion. He came to teach us how to relate to God and how to become perfect. Because only if we become perfect can we get to the highest levels of the afterlife and rejoin the source. He told us all this 2,000 years ago. And I was a devout Christian. Oh, so devout. You cannot imagine. And I only began to understand what the meaning is and what the purpose is of human life when I started reading what the dead tell us. Why don't churches tell people that? They don't.
Because it's about control and it's about money and it's about all the wrong things. Right. That's why. They don't want us
right
to know
here.
It.
Yes. Well, the thing is, they also, churches believe that they have a shortcut. There is no spiritual shortcut. Death, Jesus did not die on the cross for sins. He died for a whole different reason. And the very thought, when I came to understand this, because that's what the dead consistently tell us, I was appalled I'd ever believed it. Think about it. What kind of a loving God would enjoy watching his own child horribly murdered? No, that was a first century idea. Paul, bless his heart, he packaged the teachings so they would survive and we would have them today, and I'm so grateful to him. It's the best gift anybody ever has been given. But it's time now to open that gift and to see. We've been playing with the wrapping for 2,000 years because the wrapping was beautiful to us. It's time to open the wrapping, look at the real gift, and begin to live those teachings. And the reason is very important. When enough people, and it wouldn't take more than 10 or 20% of the population of the planet, when enough people are living the teachings of Jesus, the entire world will be transformed completely. Forget about ISIS. There'll be no more ISIS. There'll be no more wars. There'll be no more of any of the things you're trying to prevent. Because the teachings, let me just tell you why. The reason is that we are all part of one mind. We know now, and I just talk about this in my other books, that the only thing that exists is capital mind, or God. That's the only thing that exists, and we're all part of that. So when you have transformed your mind, and enough other people have too, it will be impossible for that not to affect the whole world.
Amazing. Amazing. You know, I've actually met some people who actually remember being part of the original source and when that split off. They remember, they can remember back to that. There are some very powerful healers. Yes.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely amazing.
There's all kinds of people on Earth like that. Yes, you're right.
Yeah,
you're
it's absolutely amazing. So, yes, and these people have evidenced that we all come from the source. So what do Jesus and the dead tell us? Is the meaning and purpose of human life? I mean, we know it's love. What else?
Well, we're being taught that we need to develop ourselves spiritually. Jesus says this repeatedly. He says, he who has will be given more, and he'll have an abundance. He who does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken away from him. And throw that worthless servant out into the darkness, where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. There is, by the way, an outer darkness, just as he said. Well, that sounds cruel, until you realize he's warning them. If you are not growing spiritually, you are falling backward. And if you fall backward, you're going to put yourself into that outer darkness. He's trying to save us from that. He comes to teach us how we can make the best possible spiritual progress here, and more to the point, that's why the universe exists. I think of it as a spiritual gym. We're here to strengthen our spiritual muscles so that when we go home, we will be able to reach a higher level of the afterlife, because we yearn, when we're there, we yearn for spiritual growth, and you really can't do it in the afterlife levels till you're probably at the top of 5 or even 6. There are roughly 7 master levels, but there are a lot of little levels. Each of the levels is probably close to the size of the universe, so that there's plenty of room there. But that's why he came, to teach us that we're supposed to be growing spiritually, to teach us how to do it. And every Christian prays probably daily, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And then the second line of the Lord's Prayer is, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." He tells us how to do it, and he tells us what we're supposed to be doing. He's not going to bring his kingdom. We're supposed to bring it. He's given us all the tools. The tools are those teachings. And if we're praying for the kingdom of God to come on earth, and that's really the goal, that's what's going to happen. The kingdom of God is perfection spiritually, and eventually we'll get there as a people, but only if we do the work. It's not something God will do. Otherwise, what's the point? I mean, if you send your kid to school and you say, "By the way, here are all the answers," and you don't have to do anything, just hang around in school, what's the point of sending them at all? We're here to learn and to grow and to fix everything around us, and we have the power to do that. And now is when it begins.
Now, you know, on a bigger scale, Earth is not the only
scale.
Right, yes. And right, because this is just talking to you is just so expansive, it just triggers all these thoughts. But okay, so I'm looking at this whole big picture, and I'm thinking, well, Earth is not the only place that entities go to learn. There are other places in the universe or whatever. Right? Yes. Is Jesus just ours, or is he part of that entire? the teachings of all the universe. Did I stump you, Roberta?
I'm trying to think of what the best way is to answer that question. We know so little here because we don't even have access to most of our minds while we're in bodies. But everything that we know about our afterlife levels suggests that Jesus is a master entity from far beyond little reality of which the universe is about 5%, but it's the only reality we can conceive of. There's no end, and Jesus appears to be from the very top of that no end. So, and I can believe that now. Before, it would have been hard to imagine, but I saw him, and I will never forget that sight. Just to be in his presence.
Now, when you saw him, did you see him in terms in a human form, or did you see him as a light or something like that?
But that's such a good question. At the upper levels, even of our afterlife, people routinely appear as light. They don't mind. I mean, if they want to, they can put on a body and come down. They do whatever they want. But Jesus was sitting at a table, and there were other people there. I assume they were my guides. But I was so amazed and astonished and, frankly, stricken by that presence that he hardly looked at me. He was looking at the others because he knew he was scaring me, the dickens out of me. But he was talking. I couldn't hear what he said, but he was using his mouth. Now, there they speak telepathically. So clearly he was talking, he was saying things that I was hearing. I don't remember. I mean, I'll never remember more than what Thomas put into my mind last evening. He just wanted me to know what I was working for. I was not working for the guy on the cross. I'm working for the powerful, eternal God. And that makes a big difference, you know, sort of in what you're willing to say aloud, let me tell you.
Oh my gosh, it does. It does. Listen, so, I mean, you must feel like the luckiest person on earth to be able to experience these things. It's phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Well, you're the second person to say that to me today, and actually I kind of feel the opposite. I'm very glad that this is happening now, but I feel totally inadequate to what I think they're asking me to do. Totally inadequate. I mean, I know God doesn't make mistakes. I know that probably is... Thomas tells me that in the 80s, Jesus decided to make his new revelation and that they were choosing someone to be the vessel for it. And Thomas, bless his little heart, he appointed me because he had me already on track to write his book. And I was chosen in the 80s. And Thomas says they've spent 20 years preparing me to write this book. Now, if you hear that story from somebody else, you think, wow, you're the luckiest person on earth. If you're living it, you feel as if you've been studying a phenomenon, an incredibly huge phenomenon your whole life, and suddenly you realize you're inside it. I'll get used to it. I'll do what I'm supposed to do, but I don't feel lucky so much as I feel as if Thomas better hold my hand really tight because I don't know if I could do this otherwise.
Right. Oh, you know, when you put it that way, I get it.
It's big. It's really big. You know,
this is big. This is major stuff, Roberta. This is big stuff.
Yes,
this is big stuff.
I love that it's happening. I love watching it. But I don't. I know God doesn't make mistakes. But if He ever made one, this would be the first one. I'm not adequate to this. With Thomas, I can do anything. I think of myself now as kind of his avatar. You see the movie Avatar. He's directing me, and it's really him inside this body doing it. That's the only way I can comfort myself that we'll be okay, because I totally trust him. I know he can do it. I don't think Roberta can.
Well, you're much bigger than who you think you are anyway, so.
Well, we all know that.
Happy.
Well, I'm here. I don't know it very well.
Right.
No, you're right.
I'm happy to play a part in this. I feel very honored that Thomas Jefferson and Jesus are allowing me to give a voice to this. So I feel incredibly honored. I do.
Bless you, dear. Bless you. And I want to say that that's a good point. They've been very careful about who they've had me talk with and what the audiences have been, because they're trying to make this spread as quickly as possible, and they don't want anyone in the way. So you're right. Thank you for doing this, and you were chosen.
Thank you. Thank you. That is quite an honor. So I know that you are ready to bolt out the door. Is there anything you want to say before you go?
Yes. I want everybody to understand that we do know now what happens at and after death, and Jesus has confirmed it. I can tell you now with certainty that you are a powerful, eternal being. You never began, you never will end, and you yourself are the most loved child of an infinitely loving God. That's the truth. And it's up to us while we're here to do what God has sent us here to do, which is to learn and grow spiritually. And then when you go home, it'll be milk and cookies forevermore. No fear. Don't ever fear God.
Gosh. That's a beautiful way to end it. Milk and cookies forever. Oh, isn't that wonderful?
That's how it feels, really. I mean, the afterlife is designed by the most loving entity you can possibly imagine, and actually many entities, to be the most fun you've ever had in your life, which is why my first book, The Fun of Dying, got that title.
That's right, and that was a great book. Both of your other books are great. Well, I want to thank you so much, and I wish you a safe journey to Colorado.
Thank you.
And it is so great talking with you again. Thank you for allowing me to be part of this. And,
oh, Randy, thank you so much. And
okay,
consider yourself
so
hugged, because I just think, I sort of feel we're kind of kindred spirits. And
yes, absolutely.
I give you much love.
Sending love to you too as well. All right, Roberta, until your next book or whatever, we'll talk again.
All right.
Okay,
thank you, Randy.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, that was quite an interesting show, and I didn't really know how that was going to go, because, like I said, I have no experience with Jesus, although I was getting a physical healing one day from a healing master who told me that Jesus was in the presence in the room, and I considered that an honor. I don't know Jesus. I don't know him intimately. I don't know what he shared, maybe on a eternal level or a spiritual level, maybe I do, because maybe I follow his teachings without even realizing it. I don't know. I do know that as a Jewish person, we're not supposed to really embrace the thought of Jesus at all. We are supposed to think of him as really kind of a nobody, which is a shame. But as an open-minded person, and as someone who I said is not a religious person, because I do not want to shut off any of the possibilities that life or the afterlife have to offer me, I felt that it was important to bring this to you. And so the book is called Liberating Jesus, and the author, who was our special, very interesting guest today, Roberta Grimes, has researched this for many, 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 many years. She is at the top of the afterlife researchers. So when she says something, I listen. And so when her publicist came to me and asked me if I would bring Roberta back and do this book, I went against my natural judgment, which was, oh my gosh, this is going to turn people off because we're now talking about Jesus, to, wait a minute, I know Roberta, and I know where she's coming from, and what she has to say is very, very important. So I'm bringing this to you out of that open-mindedness, and I hope that you're receiving it that same way. So get the book, check it out, and Roberta's other books, The Fun of Dying and The Fun of Staying in Touch, are also really interesting books about what she's learned from the afterlife. And there's actually I forget what his name is, Schwartz? Anyway, there's a man who is at a university who actually studies all the mediums, really the most renowned mediums that we know. He actually puts them to the test to see who is actually studying them and who is not. And I know Roberta works hand in hand with this man. He is also very, very legitimate. And you can find out more about him. I can't think of his name right off the bat, but she talks about him in her books. So if you would like to know more about Roberta's work, and, you can definitely look it up in her books, or just look her up. You can go to robertagrimes.com and find out more about her. So I hope that you enjoyed what we brought you to this day, and I hope that it didn't make you freeze up or really kind of think that we're trying to preach something to you or change your mind. I just want you to have an open mind. And that's why I bring many, many different topics to A Fine Time for Healing, because I know that not everything will resonate with you, but some things will just, you'll just grab onto, and they'll really have meaning in your life. So I don't want to limit what I bring to you. I want to bring everything to you. And I want you to choose or to feel that deep, you know, resonating within you, that this is what you are supposed to grab onto to learn and grow. So please know that this is my goal for this show. It's never to make you think any particular way. It's to allow you the options of knowing what's there so you can choose how you want to think. And that is what this show is about. And I hope that's why you listen. I hope that you get that from me, that I'm not trying to make you be any way that you don't want to be. I know there's certain things that resonate with me. I bring guests on my show that talk about things that don't necessarily resonate with me, but I want you to have that experience. So that's what I'm about. Anyway, with that said, we are running out of time for today. But if you have any comments or questions about today's show, you can email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com, RANDIGFINE.com. My website is also randygfine.com, RANDIGFINE.com. I spell that because everybody wants to spell Randy with a Y, so I want to make sure you get to me the way you want to get to me. My website has, it's my hub. It has links to everything I do, hundreds of articles, hundreds of radio shows. They're all linked through there. And you can also visit my Find Life Issues counseling page and find out how I can help you as a life issues counselor with the issues that you're having in your life. And I do that by telephone to anywhere in the world. So check out that page. I get my information from a higher source and give it to you that way. All my shows are archived after broadcasting and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. So I want to thank you again for tuning in, having an open mind, and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Talk Radio show host, author, and life issues counselor Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, Randy G. Fine, RANDIGFINE.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
Hard not to hesitate, but we can't wait to be the change. Be the change. Be the change. Be the change. There's a better way.